Hey everybody, it's Ben and Rob. We're your hosts from Rise.tv, bringing you the answers that will leave you on the edge of wonder. Black cube UFOs are being spotted in the sky. Strange creatures are washing up on shore. Scientists can't make heads or tails of beings like eels, let alone aliens. Yeah, I said eels. But new findings are making everyone question the nature of the universe.
That's for sure. And tonight, we're going to do an Edge of Wonder deep dive and then go over to Rise.tv for a discussion about the black cube symbolism, Saturn, companies, hidden messages, and the occult, which we definitely can't talk about outside of our platform. And I don't even know if we can talk about it on our platform, but we're going to do it anyway. So let's get started talking about the black cubes, UFOs, alien eels, and Bigfoot. So we'll see you guys out
on the edge. And are you listening to our podcast? Please leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us reach even more people.
Thank you. How are you doing, Rob?
Yeah, pretty good. I was doing pretty good until black cubes came back into my life, that's for sure.
Oh, this is so crazy with all of this black cube stuff. I was like, wow. So this was like trending on Twitter. And
there's so many weird things. What this guy that Joe Rogan interview, what was his name again?
Ryan Graves.
Yeah. Like what what he saw was like there were so many interesting things about it we'll be getting into. Like lots and lots of weird stuff. And I think actually, even though we're talking about black cube UFOs, still the weirdest thing on our agenda is these eels. What the hell? Like nothing is weirder. Like, wait, do you guys hear,
dude,
about eels, like the stuff we found out about eels? It's ridiculous.
It really is.
It's and the stuff that Edge of Wonder is made of. It really is.
And speaking of stuff Edge of Wonder is made of, that's exactly what we're publishing today at 8 o'clock. We're publishing.
Yes, we are.
The Seas Part 2, The Cryptids of the Seas.
And I believe we do talk about eels a little bit in there too, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, of course. You can't. Eels is there. It's weird. And we'll get into that.
It's the strangest anomaly in the ocean aside from
octopuses
and potentially the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Or in the seas, anyway.
Or the seas, yeah. So, okay. So kind of setting up the scene here so this Ryan Graves guy, he's a former Navy pilot. And I mean, the Joe Rogan interview is like 3 hours long. We're just going to play like a 2-minute clip from it. Before you do, Lindsay, I'll kind of set this up a little bit. So he explains to Joe that during this time, I mean, he doesn't do this anymore, but he said it was around like 2012-ish, somewhere between 2012 and 2014, he was saying that they updated their radar system. So they were spotting a lot more anomalies on radar than previously.
Right.
And what they realized was that it wasn't that all of a sudden these like UAPs or UFOs or whatever you want to call them just start showing up.
Right.
They realize they are always there.
Yeah.
And it's just because they updated the radar. The
technology updated.
They could see them easier.
That's crazy.
So then because Joe was like, he was like asking him these questions and he's like, no, they're always there. And he's like, you know, he said, we'll do this training. And he talks about how they're training. It's cost him like $30,000 just to fly for like 30 minutes or something like that. Mm. So he says, you know, they'll go up there, they'll see these crafts. And he talks about the trajectory of how they move. And he said, you know, they'll go in a straight line and then all of a sudden either shoot straight up or just like do a 180, complete like 180 or like a 90 degree turn. And he's like, you can't do that stuff in aircraft. Like it's impossible.
Unless you're defying gravity.
Yes. Or have some kind of technology to defy gravity.
That defies gravity, yes.
So then he starts talking about how he'll go up there or, you know, they'll see the stuff, come back down, refuel, take a break or whatever, go back up for another
have training. A donut.
Yeah,
talk with your buddies. You're never gonna believe what I saw. It was crazy. I'm gonna go up again in a couple minutes.
Right. So they go back up, and then it's the same crafts that they're seeing flying around. So he's like, they've been up there for 13 hours. And he's like, I don't, one, it's like, what kind of fuel are they using? Two, how are they up there for that long? Like, what are these things? And, you know, and so Joe asks him, I mean, because this part we're going to play doesn't really talk about this part. So I'm just kind of like diving into it. And Joe asks him, like, what do you think these are? Are they aliens or what? And he's like, well, I don't know, you know, but what we do know is that we should
what
be looking
at is that Obama's involved and it's probably from his home planet. Just kidding.
The queen has returned. Actually, that's it. But right. I was like, you know, this could be if they are from other countries or something. I mean, this is like a serious threat, you know, if they're like whatever they are,
if it's a military threat.
Military, extraterrestrial, like we should definitely be looking into these things. Okay, so Lindsay, you can. Well, Rob, is there anything you wanted to say before we play this clip?
No.
Okay.
Just God help us.
Yeah, this is pretty cool the way he describes this.
There were two aircraft from my squadron, VFA-11, and they took off as a flight of two. That means they're essentially flying in a formation like this. And as they hit the area, one of these objects went right between the aircraft. The lead air crew saw the object. The Dash 2 aircraft crew did not, which is not surprising because they're usually, you know, you're very focused on flying formation. You're just staring right at that aircraft. The lead really has actual leeway to look around. So he saw it and, you know, he immediately came back. I have to assume he didn't have it on his radar because he wouldn't have flown through this object at the entrance point. He turned around, flew back, landed. And, I was in the ready room when he come back and, you know, he had all his gear on, which typically is not a good thing. you want to get that stuff off as fast as possible. So usually means, you know, there's a problem of some nature. And you know, he was just sitting there saying, hey, you know, I was hit one of those damn things. And we all knew what he's referring to, even though we didn't necessarily have a name for it, just because we were seeing these so much. And he described it, you know, he described it just as a black or dark gray cube, and that cube was inside of a clear translucent sphere.
That's
essentially the apex or the corners of that cube.
Wait, the cube was inside of a translucent sphere.
Inside of that.
Hold on, we'll get into that.
And that description mirrors many of the descriptions that people have had of these, whatever you want to call them. Whether they're calling them UAPs now for some strange reason, UFOs is a, I don't know. Does it have a dirty connotation to it? And is it tainted because of so many crazy people talk about UFOs? Is that what it
crazy
is?
Crazy people.
A lot of assumptions baked in.
It baked in. That's yeah. So
anyway, you can pause
whatever it is.
So that is a crazy description, right, Rob?
Yes.
Black cube inside a translucent sphere
that's which is moving like a force field of some kind.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And probably that sphere is keeping the cube outside of our
gravitational dimension.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is why. So what he was describing is like, so these two aircrafts are flying like really close together. And then this cube just goes vertically. It goes straight down between the aircrafts as they're like flying.
It's like, that freak you out.
That would totally freak you out.
They ruined their pilot pants. Sure. There's no doubt.
Oh man. It's just pretty insane. You know, and of course, like you think of like the Borg and everything else. When you think
now there, I just want to point something out. There's no way that those guys being sent up there are not videoing all of that. There's no way you would send someone up there for 30,000 miles a shot and not trying to be studying what's going on. So that footage exists somewhere.
I'm sure it does.
Somewhere in the deep web. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and we do. I did both of us were looking for these kinds of things, and we did find some stuff related to this. So here's like a first article that we can pull up, cube-shaped UFOs. And it's like, some people are like, well, what if they're drones? Have you ever seen a cube drone? It's like,
no.
Have you seen a cube anything? That's,
I haven't like, seen a drone flying. Looking cool. They just have propellers.
Yeah.
Big, funky propellers.
That's crazy. So, Lindsay, you want to pull this article up? Cube-shaped UFO, not drones, not balloons. So what are they? I mean, obviously, this photo is a rendering, but we do have some that could be real. I don't want to say they are real because, well, you know, we never know these things, but could be.
To answer Joe Rogan's question, the reason why they pivoted from unidentified flying object to unidentified aerial phenomena is because it's a much broader topic than unidentified flying object.
True.
Unidentified aerial phenomena can refer to much more weird stuff happening in the skies
than
just an unidentified flying object.
Yeah. Yeah. Does this show anything in this article, Lindsay? Does this show any like actual real foot? Oh, no. There's a video actually. If you keep going down in that, the History Channel has some video of an actual cube. Play a little bit of this. We may have to kind of like fast forward to kind of find it.
We'll keep our phones safely stowed away when of a kind video. 2020, an Airbus A320 is on a routine flight soaring over Medellin, Colombia. Little does the captain know he's a polyhedron of some sort whizzes by in a straight line.
Oh, Lindsay, yeah. Oh,
we slow
it
down and zoom in further. You can see it kind of looks like a cube.
It has these kind of little points that stick out. It does seem to be
darker
in color and not.
That's a cube.
Points that stick out.
You know what this reminds me of? We were actually with Peter Maxwell Slattery and a bunch of people in Australia the month that COVID was announced. And Peter got
more.
What?
The month before COVID was announced.
Yeah, it was more like a week before. but Peter got something very similar. And I have the footage. I just didn't even think about it until just now looking at this video. Because I didn't think about it. It was a cube, but I realized it was changing shape. It was kind of like first it was kind of like square. And
I remember
then,
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it was, and it was kind of the same thing. And there was the center that was spinning and it was like changing color in the center of it. And he had this on video. We have it somewhere. I'll try to see if I can find it on my computer. Like when we show one of the trailers or something, see if I can show that. But anyway, this definitely reminds me of that. And when he was talking about that sphere around it, I'm just keep thinking like, I wonder if these are like kind of changing shapes, but I wonder how big these are too.
Yeah. Yeah. They, I mean, it's incredibly impossible to tell how big that cube was from that footage.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine if they're changing shape, they're changing size as well.
Right.
But who knows?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Let's see. And actually there's since we're talking about the cube stuff, we can just go right into some little bit more of the cube stuff. So there's two really important events that happened. One of them was near the sun. So, Lindsay, if you want to show this video, and it's at the part where you can play it. It's black cube near the sun, and this brought up a lot.
I remember this.
Do you remember this? This is like a totally zoomed in image here. And I think what was first described was that it was like a pixel or something that was missing information, and I think that's what they try to explain it as, but then it kind of moves around, and that's where it's like, yeah, it's coming out of the sun. This is not a pixel or some kind of missing information.
Yeah, especially that one where it's close to the sun, because you can see that like gas around it that's like,
mm-hmm. And there was another video. I was having a really hard time finding it because so many videos have been taken down on YouTube now, and it's just almost impossible to use Google to search for things. But there was another one, a black cube that has the sun, and this like black cube comes up and it looks like it's like sucking something from the sun.
I remember that.
And then it like takes off. So I was trying to find it, and I was having a hard time finding it earlier. So, but that was another one I was thinking of. But this is, you know, this thing is massive, by the way.
That cube would have to be like the size of Jupiter or bigger.
Yeah, actually, you're right. I was like, yeah, holy cow. Maybe not quite as well. Yeah, dude, that's got to be the size of Jupiter. Holy crap. Because 10,000 Earths can fit in the sun. So,
yeah,
that is pretty big.
It's massive.
Wow. And there's another, there's another photo of it actually. And again, this is, this doesn't look like there's pixels.
Yeah. Perfect gift to be playing there.
And there was another black cube that supposedly came out of like a sky in El Paso. So Lindsay, if you want to pull that one up.
Seen this one yet. The El Paso cube.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not a video, but it's, it looks like there's some kind of, it just kind of falls from the sky and there's this, I mean, it's a black cube. Well, the question is like, what is it? But it is a black cube. So
yeah, that, especially in the blown up version, it looks very much like that's cube shaped.
So
three sides there. Yeah.
Actually, somebody found it for me. Thunder. He just sent it to me. Let me send it to, wow. I think probably because they're trying to debunk this and I was looking for the real video. Lindsay, I'm going to put this in our, that show up there. It didn't show up. Why don't we go for a break, and then when we get back we'll show that video.
Yeah, Rob, we have a trailer we're gonna play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, speaking of strange occurrences and creatures, Ben and I did a new Edge of Wonder series called The Seas about the cryptids of the abyss. So at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight, our latest episode dropped, and it's all about, or is dropping, and it's all about psychic octopuses, aliens, and demons. And if you thought mind-controlling Kraken or Lovecraftian Old One monsters were just fiction, just wait until you see this.
What if I told you that octopuses are so smart, they may even have extrasensory abilities? That's right. I'm talking about a psychic octopus.
That sounds like a terrible B-horror movie.
What's happening?
It's a huge squid. It's got a glider.
In 2010, during the FIFA World Cup in South Africa, an octopus in Germany correctly predicted the outcomes for all seven of the German team's soccer matches. But he also picked Spain to win the final against the Netherlands. The octopus, who was named Paul.
Who names an octopus Paul?
This octopus Paul indicated his favored teams by choosing between food and glass cases containing flags of two opposing teams.
You've heard about Cthulhu and the Kraken. You've wondered about superpowers and the occult. You've seen movies and TV shows reveal truths that even they may not have realized. Is a cephalopod takeover on the horizon? Are eels interdimensional? have reckless oil companies unleashed an evil on the world that they don't want you to know about. Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.
That's so awesome.
All right, you guys, if you're watching our podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and review so we can reach more people. So yeah, that's dropping at 8 p.m., just 8 minutes away, the new episode 2 of that series. So,
oh yeah, 8 minutes.
Yep.
Wow. So you guys watching, you can watch that as soon as we finish our show. So, okay, I got the video. So I think one of the problems why I wasn't finding it was because it was actually a sphere and not a cube. I was thinking it was a cube.
Yes, there's this one of the spheres sucking the energy out of the sun.
Yeah. Now, Lindsay, pull up the NBC article, and then we're going to show the actual video that people can watch. But they're saying that it was a solar eruption that was mistaken for a UFO refueling. And I actually don't really know, you know, this is what they're saying.
How do they know? They don't even know this.
And it's saying a burst of brightly lit material. It's black. I don't know.
It could be a reverse image.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, right? It actually could be. So this is what they're saying, but Lindsay, show the next link. It just says video. This is the actual video. And thank you, Thunder, for finding this for me or for us. So the bottom left corner, you're seeing this. But the weird thing is, So the weird thing is, it doesn't show it not there. In other words, it's like you're already seeing it, and then it looks like it's kind of blast. See,
it blasts
like
off.
Yeah. Already seeing it. I want to know what the video is leading up to this, because if it's going up to the sun, then it's definitely a UAP.
Well, and I think it's hard. Like, we're looking at the sun using certain types of filters here, so it's very possible that whatever that thing is next to the sun is metallic of some sort, and it's showing it black because that's the type of infrared or whatever type of lens that we're watching it on. But we don't really know.
That's crazy, though. I mean, the way it takes off.
Yeah.
And if that was seriously something being injected from the sun, you would think that everybody would be freaking out about this. NASA, I mean, granted, this happened like, you know, 5-6 years ago or something like that. But it's like NASA would be like, oh my gosh, the sun just ejected something. We don't know what this is. This could have like massive effects on the Earth with solar radiation and all this stuff. But it's like nothing, silence. And this thing is huge. This is definitely bigger than Jupiter.
Is that an octopus trying to suck energy out of the sun? I mean, that's the question.
That is really crazy.
And I do think we saw like 24 hour video. That was like a really fast time lapse of whatever that was.
Over a 3-day period. Right. And like I said, we're not seeing prior to this. So that would be a really, you know, what happens? I mean, how does that ball of mass even get there? It's impossible. Like, I just don't understand this. Like, how could it come from the sun if it's a ball and then just float there? It either gets ejected or comes to the sun and then shoots off.
Yeah. And so for those of you that are watching this on our podcast, basically there was a black form next to the sun. And it almost seemed to have these like tentacle-like plasma streams coming out of the sun and entering into the circle that was near it until it just gradually took off and flew away over like a day period, like over a 24-hour period, because we were watching a time lapse of it. So it was really interesting.
Wow. Yeah. So again, you know, I just don't buy this whole thing about.
Now, was there a Borg-like giant black cube UFO seen near the sun? Yes. Here it is. Now, we don't know if these are pixels or if it's actually like a black, you know, like a vacuum or something of like substance of some kind that's just a stark black. We don't know.
But what we do know, and now it's, I would say it's been confirmed, black cube spaceships exist.
Right. So now because of the actually, that's a good point. So we know there's unidentified aerial phenomena that are black cubes, and now we're seeing black cubes near the sun. And it's like, do we put two and two together here, or are they unrelated? You know, that's really,
yeah. That is pretty intense. Cool. Good stuff here. I like talking, you know, there's so much going on in the world that sometimes it's like, let's just talk about UFOs.
I agree.
Or whatever it is that we want to talk about.
Let's talk about something unrelated to politics.
Yeah, I would agree too. So, all right. You made a video, Rob.
Oh, yes, I did. Have you guys got to check this out if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
I posted this on Instagram.
Yeah, and speaking of Joe Rogan, that's why I thought this kind of goes along with what we're talking about. Weird stuff anyway, though. So go ahead.
Arrested and put in prison for something you never said or did. AI is making it impossible to tell the difference between what's real and what's a deepfake. Recently on Spotify, a new Joe Rogan podcast dropped, except it wasn't Joe Rogan. The podcast was an interview with the deceased ex-Apple CEO, Steve Jobs. And to be honest, it was a really interesting interview. Here's a clip of the opening.
Hello, freak bitches. Welcome to another episode of the Bro Jogan Experience. And on this episode, I welcome my friend who's difficult to describe. I'm fascinated by him, and I hope you'll be too.
Now, would you have been able to determine that was not Joe Rogan?
Wow.
Aside from Jobs sounding like he was giving a speech on an Apple stage, there was little in the interview that would give it away. Listen to this.
Taking LSD was a profound experience for me. LSD shows you that there's another side to the coin, and you can't remember it when it wears off, but, you know, it washes over you and tells you that everything is connected. You're not here by accident.
My mind is a little bit blown right now. The AI literally analyzed every Joe Rogan interview to come up with that script. More importantly than the podcast is this. What corporations or entities could get a hold of this technology? What do you think is on the horizon for AI? Comment below. Could any of us get put away for something we didn't say or do? Hey, did you like the artwork in this post? It was created by one of those freaky AI generators. Check out this one. That looks strangely like Mr. Smith on a shirt. What if you were arrested and put in...
Yeah. Dude, that's weird, man. It's super weird, right? Like the interview was actually a really interesting interview with Steve Jobs. Like, and it was like, it was him and Joe Rogan just responding to one another for an hour or something like that. You couldn't tell really.
So did someone type that up and then the computer used their voice?
There is a podcast.ai.
Wow.
It's called podcast.ai. And it's an artificial intelligence that creates a podcast, and they put that together. And it's like this technology, just like the entry level crap that we civilians are consuming, is already good enough to do that. Like, who knows what they can do?
Dude, that's weird, man.
You know what I mean?
Like, I wouldn't want to hear myself as
you know.
AI.
I'll tell you a really
that's so weird,
story.
Man.
Yeah, I'll tell you a really interesting story. So. I started trying to get the AI generator to create a image that was Joe Rogan interviewing Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter, at first I did it and Joe Rogan is appearing on the screen with Steve Jobs, but it's like really weird. Like they're, And then the AI started to merge Steve Jobs and Joe Rogan into one person. And like, I have an image on my phone here. I'll try to show it to you.
That's weird,
where it's
man.
Literally an exact, it's like an exact combination of Joe Rogan and Steve Jobs.
Dude, that looks like, it looks like a,
it's both of them.
A villain from Star Trek.
Like, yeah.
That's so what it looks like.
Then as I kept going, no matter what I did, Steve Jobs started to take over the entire thing. And until finally, like, Joe That's Rogan weird. Wasn't appearing at all. And Steve Jobs just, it was like every character in the AI was Steve Jobs. Like, he was taking over in the metaverse. And this is really weird. Like, I did a prompt on the AI that was Steve Jobs in heaven, and it came back with this.
I can't really, can you show it?
Can you see that?
Wow, that's weird.
Isn't that crazy?
That's weird, man.
And then after that, I started doing Joe Biden as a psychotic clown, and I got a lot of really interesting stuff. You want to see?
The Joker?
Look at that one.
Dude, that's crazy.
Oh my God,
like,
it's terrifying.
So much worse than Joker.
That's terrifying. Wow. Look at this one.
That's crazy, man. This look real.
I know. The thing is, like, it does a really good job of capturing stuff, you know?
Wow. That's insane. It's all weird. Well, all right.
Well, you know, Ben, do you have anything else to cover with UFOs right now?
Yeah, actually, kind of one thing I do want to just mention real quick is what this Ryan Graves, what they're working on. So the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics are basically creating a new division to study and to research what these AUPs are. So this is kind of like the first time where they're literally having something, you know, of course there's that ATIP program, but this is a little bit different. And I guess they're also going to be studying like Earth-like planets and whatnot. But I think the main concern that everybody is having is, are these, you know, what we were talking about earlier, like, is this an extraterrestrial threat? Are they just here to say hi? Is this China or Russia creating something? Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, what are these things? And, you know, and I think it's now like, okay, the government's finally saying, okay, well, we should start investigating this stuff to see what this actually is, which they probably already know anyway.
That image right there is not of a UFO. That is an image that was taken in the pitch dark in the 90s of Ben at a rave with his glasses.
Oh my God.
You know it is. Yeah.
Dude, that photo probably would exist somewhere in my life.
It totally does. Like, it's somewhere,
I'm not gonna lie, it probably is.
It's like a shoebox of images from Ben in the 90s with glow sticks,
right? Probably. As that sounds. All
okay,
right.
So we have to get into these eels, right?
Yeah. And eels and Bigfoot, we got it. We still got to talk about
eels and Bigfoot. I'm really excited to get into those, but we're going to do a trailer first. So you guys, have you ever wondered what the government really knows about UFOs? Kind of like we do. Do you really think those cubes in the sky are just weather balloons like they tell us? Or are they Borg cubes? Well, we're skeptical of a lot of these theories. So Ben and I did a deep dive into the documents that were declassified by the CIA all about UFOs. But about 3,000 docs came with a lot of questions, like what's under all those redactions? So check out this trailer for our episode on the CIA document declass UFOs and hear the exclusive breakdown you've been waiting for.
What does the government really know about UFOs? We wonder. Is every unidentified object in our skies just a weather balloon?
The saucers are weather balloons coming up in the sky.
We think not. The CIA declassified 3,000 documents all about UFOs. But with that came a lot of questions. Why have these been hidden for so long? What truths do they uncover? What is still to be revealed? The CIA documents have many redactions. So what lies beneath them? We're asking the hard questions and getting into the UFO topic like never before. Get ready for the craziest things we've found. It's the exclusive breakdown you've been waiting for. CIA Document Declass. UFOs.
And speaking of CIA document declass, the FBI has files on Bigfoot, which we're going to talk about too. So, all right, you want to talk about eels or do we want to talk about Bigfoot?
I think we need to get into eels first.
All right, that sounds good for me.
So you guys know that there are very mysterious facts around eels that not many people talk about, but they probably should, because now we don't know what dimension they're really from.
Yes, that's so true. And although they're trying to say now that they've kind of figured out some things, which came out this week about baby eels and whatnot, but it's weird. They're like super translucent and everything else, but it's the breeding aspect that still is weird. So where do we even start with this? There was a whole thread that someone, this woman named, is it Emily Finch, wrote, and she's a geologist, and she's just like, eels are weird, and they are weird. So for, you know, we don't, well, if you want, you could
she
read
must
this.
Be British if she's using a word like learnt.
She might be. What is crazy?
This is the crazy part, yeah. Here, right? Oh, go
yeah,
on.
This
doing?
Is where it gets. Lindsay. Yeah, that's, well, that's.
You want to read this?
No, well just go up because the one right below.
One right below. Go down.
Right below that, yep. This right here.
Yeah. Read this, Rob.
Yeah. So all the eels in Europe and America are born in the Sargasso Sea in the Bermuda Triangle. Ominous? Yes. Eels might even live in a landlocked part of Europe, and yet they will travel thousands of kilometers over land, yes, land, and sea to get to the Sargasso Sea to spawn.
So in other words, all eels in the entire world, no matter where they are in the world, go to the same location, and yet we have not seen them breed in.
No one knows how they're born. It's as if they could just crawl out of a hole in the ocean for all anyone knows. No one knows how they breed.
And
like how they come to be.
The fact that it's in the Bermuda Triangle is even weirder. But how in the world are they like in a lake that is landlocked, meaning it's a lake surrounded by land, and still from thousands of miles away and go to the Bermuda Triangle? Like, how does this work out? And that's what no one can really figure out. And they're like over land, like what do they do? Like, you know, it makes you wonder if they like shapeshift into some other creature and go back in the water.
Look at this. Look at this. In fact, Freud, yes, that Freud, started his research career trying to find eels' testicles and failed miserably before switching to, well, Freud stuff.
Yeah. they have no sexual organs that is found. At the later stages of their life, there's some debate what happens, but they say they just like will get their sexuality will develop at the later stages. And they say that they lay eggs, the females will lay eggs, and then the males like swim over it. And then, but This doesn't make any sense, though. That's still a theory. They can't prove that. So, Rob, go ahead. Read the next one.
Okay. Until this week, researchers were finally able to track European eels all the way to the Sargasso Sea using satellite trackers. Despite this, no one has ever physically seen a mature eel in the Sargasso Sea. Where are they going?
Like, so they go in the sea.
They leave from there. So they're
all migrating there.
Come up from there, or they...
Yeah,
half from there.
You can't find them. Go ahead.
Even though mature eels die once they spawn, fair enough, no stomach, their offspring return to the place where their parents lived many thousands of kilometers away. How do they know where to go?
Yes. Now, what she means by no stomach, eels, this is really strange. At some stage of their lives, they actually, their stomach dissolves.
How do they eat?
This whole thing with eels is a big, huge mystery. And I'm sorry, I don't fully understand the process, but I just know, yeah, she says it right here. Dissolve their stomachs. Whenever eels live in the world, they just wake up one day, dissolve their stomachs, and decide to start their incredibly long journey to their spawning place. And how do they even know where to spawn? This could be thousands of miles away. And
you know what's really weird too is like electric eels. Like they can produce electricity and they shock their victims, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that they produce electromagnetic energy in their bodies is bizarre.
In the water, by the way.
In the water.
Yeah, it's so strange. And then she says they travel all these thousands of kilometers. She is British, by the way. Literally eating themselves alive from the inside. And then they don't have sexual organs. So it's like, how, where do they go? It's like they just go there and then.
Oh, look, go back up a little bit. Right there, stop. Nope, down, right there. What about our local eels? I got you. Eels from Australia and New Zealand spawn in the Coral Sea. Japanese eels spawn in the Mariana Trench. Dude, why do they choose the spookiest places to spawn? The Mariana Trench is the deepest place in the ocean where it is reported that there is a doorway to another dimension. Like, yeah. Allegedly, of course, but, you know.
It's not even the deepest place in the ocean. It's the deepest place in the known world.
In the known world.
If right. You put Mount Everest in upside down in the water, it's still
it would be covered completely.
Yeah, it would be completely covered. Yeah, and that's a baby eel.
It looks like a vermicelli.
It looks like it has nothing. It's just this translucent creature with an eye. Like where.
We have a lot more information about eels in our Seas series, in case you wanted to know more about that.
Yeah, we really get into this a lot. And still to this day, they can't figure out where eels...
They're coming from somewhere. They're doing something.
Well, that's been a whole theory, is that they exist in another potential dimension. And
they're buddies with the octopus because the octopus is the other really strange creature in the sea.
Yes. And we dive into that on the show too. We really talk about the octopuses, where they're from, how weird they are, and how even science today even believes that they're alien. In fact, there's even a theory that they got here riding on like spores on a meteorite that crashed in the water, and that's how octopuses come
about. Such a lame theory.
It's totally a lame theory.
Like, give me a break. You riding on a spore on a meteor to get here? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, meanwhile, those things are picking all the correct winners of the World Cup or whatever.
I mean, honestly, it makes me... I'm just going to throw this out there. It makes me wonder if they're just... like some other extraterrestrial on some other planet, and they're either just like testing to see if they would survive here, or maybe something is going on with their planet and they brought their own creatures.
Honestly, are these things straight from hell? I mean, they are just look like something you'd see in.
Yeah, but they're not like, they won't attack you, you know? Octopuses are pretty
thin. Do you trust an octopus?
Okay, I guess if it's a massive big one.
It would suffocate you. Probably steal your air in the night. That thing will crawl out of its box and attack.
I still want one as a pet just to see what would happen.
The only thing an octopus is good for is eating. That's it.
Maybe.
Delicious if you get in the hands of drinks.
But isn't that kind of weird when you think about it? If there's an if it's octopus and it's really alien, then it's like, whoa, you're really eating an alien.
True. I don't really want to eat aliens. But then the Japanese eat octopus and alien all the time.
You know what?
I call the eels aliens. I didn't even call them eels.
Fun fact, Sinbad, you know, the actor who never
shot,
Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam.
So he made, instead of making Shazam, which we all remember, he made a made-for-TV movie called Aliens for Breakfast. And that's what no one remembers. Never even heard of it. But if you can look up on IMDb, and where it should say Shazam, and it's like 1994, it says Aliens for Breakfast. So it made me just think of that. So anyway, I think Lindsay's pulling it up. There it is.
Okay.
It's crazy because I haven't seen anybody who remembers this, but so many people I know remember Shazam.
I don't remember Aliens for Breakfast, but I do remember Shazam.
Yeah, and I 100%. I even talked to somebody and I was like, do you remember a movie in the 90s called Shazam? And they're like, isn't that like Sinbad playing a genie? And I'm like, oh my God. And they had no idea what the Mandela effect was or anything. And that,
you know how I got my mom with that? Yeah.
How's that?
I asked her to tell me what the bad witch says in Snow White to the mirror. And she was like, oh, well, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? And I was like, nope, she didn't say that. And she was like, what? Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, what is this, Lindsay? Weird, large, mysterious globster washes up on Oregon coast.
Yeah, open that.
Is it a strange blob of a creature washed up on an Oregon beach this week? A couple found the unusual mass covered in stringy white strands.
This is weird, man. Both
near Florence. Go ahead. What's going on? Oh, there's an advertisement playing or something?
Something like that. This is really weird. So they said this thing has tentacles.
Oh, wow.
This strange blob of a creature washed up on an Oregon beach this week. A couple found the unusual mass covered in stringy white strands on the Oregon coast near Florence. They took this video of it and posted it on Facebook, asking if anyone knew what it was. Many responded saying it was a globster, another word for an unidentified decaying carcass. Well, we reached out to the Oregon State Marine Mammal Institute to see if they could ID it. They say it's likely a badly decomposed whale carcass. What an alarming find on the Oregon coast.
Imagine how that smells.
That can't. Well, it would smell if it was a decomposing carcass. If it's not, if it doesn't smell, then it's not a decomposing carcass. Then it's some creature that, and they said it had tentacles. A whale doesn't have tentacles. And this happened. There was an earthquake that was deep underground. And this thing washed up. Like, I guarantee you, this is some deep sea creature. Oh, this is one of my favorite videos of all time.
Dude.
Oh, Lindsay, please.
Dead on arrival on the beach near Florence. It had been so long since a whale had washed up in Lane County, nobody could remember how to get rid of one.
I can't believe you found this.
After the explosion, would be taken care of by seagulls.
It's actually in the same article further down.
The seagulls had been standing nearby all day. As everything was being made ready, we asked George Thornton, the highway engineer in charge of the project, for his final observation of its smell. We're moved back a quarter of a mile away. The sand dunes there were covered with spectators and landlubber newsmen. Shortly to
there, it's counting down. You can go to like 10. So they're trying to blow. They don't know what to do with this whale carcass. So they're like, we'll just blow it up. Oh my God.
Wait till all the pieces start to land.
Watch this. You can hear it. hear it thumping.
Our cameras stopped rolling immediately after the blast. The humor of the entire situation suddenly gave way to a run for survival as huge chunks of whale bones fell everywhere.
I'm sorry,
a run for survival.
How stupid can you be, though?
The dunes were rapidly evacuated as spectators escaped.
Didn't this damage cars?
Yes.
A parked car over a quarter of a mile from the site was the target of one large.
Oh, no.
Quarter of a mile.
Fortunately, no human was hit as badly as the car. However, everyone on the scene was covered with small particles of dead whale. The seagulls who were supposed to clean things up were nowhere in sight.
Oh, my God.
They were scared away by the
explosion. Dude, this would have been so worth it. What was this, in the 50s or 60s?
I think this was the 70s, actually. I could be wrong. Maybe not. I'm not really sure. But oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I love humans.
Like, who had that idea? Let's just blow it up with dynamite. I mean, like, what do you think is going
to
happen?
It rot here. We have to break the pieces up into smaller ones so that it can all decay. So
it up. A quarter of a mile far. Oh my!
Whoever God. The sheriff is in that town, like, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful man.
Oh gosh! Oh my God, that is so funny. All right, we got to get into Bigfoot here, because there's a
yeah
lot
we do
about with Bigfoot.
Well, it is the 55th anniversary of the most convincing Bigfoot footage ever taken that was never debunked. Mm-hmm. It was never completely accepted, but it was also never debunked entirely.
That is so true. It's the famous Bigfoot video, and actually they did a 4K rendering of it. This is just a still of that 4K. I thought I put that in there for you, Lindsay, didn't I? Oh yeah, yeah. Video slowed down in 4K. If you show that video, we'll play that. Yeah. So Bob Gimlin and Patterson, they were the ones. Roger Patterson were the ones that took this video. And Patterson died of cancer. So this is the 4K rendering of it. And it does zoom in a little bit.
There's what's actually the, like, force field thing around Bigfoot?
Is so
he's moving?
No. That's what they were doing to try to clear it up, I guess, and to because the video itself is moving, because what happened was, I can't remember which one, if it was Bob or Roger, when they were filming it, it startled him so much that he walked backwards, and when he walked backwards he tripped, and so the video gets really shaky at first, and then he tries to, like, hold still, and I think the whole thing is just trying to keeping that still and just following the movements of it. But and actually, if you play the next one, it's actually Bob going through and talking about how what happened when they captured this video. So play the next one, Lindsay.
Hang on, there's an ad.
Okay, cool. And there was a deathbed confession.
Well, not a confession.
Well,
a confirmation.
More
because
like
a confession would indicate wrongdoing.
Well, there was a confession.
What was the confession?
But it was something a little bit different. Okay, let's play this first.
How far away was she when you first saw her?
Just across the creek. About creek. Like you're across the creek.
Well, these are the Finding Bigfoot crew.
I thought, you know, this is unreal. The way it was moving, the massive muscle. Roger had the camera up to his eyes and he stumbled and fell. Where you can see the shakiness part. I rode across the creek. I got off the horse and took my rifle out of the scabbard in case I...
Yeah, in case, you know, that thing tried to attack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, the confession, should I get into it? or should we wait? No, no, really. The confession was the facts. So what happened was after they filmed this, when they were both alive, they held a conference and Bob Gimlin was speaking at the conference. Somebody stood up in the middle of this and said, "Hey, that's not Bob Gimlin." And it wasn't him, which a lot of people were using to debunk the whole thing as like, "Oh, they faked it. Why didn't Bob actually show up?" Well, the deathbed confession was Patterson saying how he wished they never used that stand-in for Bob because it threw the whole, like, because then people started disbelieving the story. The reason why they had a stand-in for Bob was because Bob was really shy and he wasn't really used to speaking and he didn't really want to talk about it at all. He was a kind of a private person and it was just too much for him to be a public speaker and doing all this. So they just hired a guy to play him at this first conference ever.
Right, where they couldn't be bothered with it.
And he didn't want to. And so that's what happened. And that's what the confession was. The interesting part is that he never said on his deathbed, this was fake. Instead, it said, it's like, it's like what you're seeing is what we got.
Yeah, that's it.
Like we didn't fake it. And that it's like that in itself, it's like the film is not a fake. It was just the substitution that happened, that reason why everyone was kind of freaking out about it. But to this day, Bob has never said like that didn't happen. And it's interesting because there's people that really broke this film down in a lot of documentaries, talking about the movements and the arms, and they had people even dressed up in a costume. This is like a rendering. This isn't a real image, but if that was taken today, they're saying this is potentially what the image would look like. And it's a very clear photo of what looks like Bigfoot, the face of it. But they had people in a costume, literally in a costume walking, and they could not get the arms right. Even if they try to make it longer, because the hands and the arms were moving. And so our arms aren't naturally that long.
Right. So it would have to be fake.
Exactly. And the height too is bigger. So they just couldn't get the proportion right. They're like, there's no way that someone could just like go out, especially in the 70s, and just buy a costume and just do this. Like, there's no way that that could be real. So that was the conclusion that a lot of documentaries came to. And, I think honestly, if this was fake, Patterson would have said on his deathbed, "Sorry, you know, we faked this," but he didn't. It's like, no, you know?
Yeah. He never said that. He just regretted the stand in.
Mm-hmm.
So what's these Bigfoots reported throughout the country?
Oh, yeah. Play this.
Claims he spotted Bigfoot and he has the video to prove it.
Finally, somebody. We're going to let you be the judge.
Take a look. This is the YouTube video. Can you see real closely there?
Yeah, that's Bigfoot.
It was supposedly shot near the Did you say that's Bigfoot like you've seen him before?
Yeah.
All right. And this was shot apparently near the Intracoastal Waterway earlier this month. Randy O'Neill says he captured the images with his cell phone while he was camping with his dad. He says he saw red eyes watching them from the woods. So he claims he fired a shotgun, heard something scream and go crashing through the trees. O'Neill says he and his father experienced a similar encounter some 25 years ago.
You know,
it's always one of these kind of mysterious things. But if I was him, I wouldn't go back in the woods again since you shot Bigfoot.
Yeah.
If I was him,
25 years ago,
I wouldn't shoot Bigfoot.
If Bigfoot has some brothers, you know, they're going to come after you too.
Or he's right.
Babies, whatever.
Yeah. But Bigfoots, overall, they're not going to harm humans. So, unless you're probably going to try to shoot them, then I don't know. Then you're on your own.
So the FBI has files on Bigfoot, right?
Yes, but we're going to, unfortunately, our time here on Rumble is, our hour is up. So we're going to talk about the FBI files on Bigfoot on Rise TV, along with everything related to the Black Cube, Saturn, Satanism, and an atlas that was published talking about Bigfoot in 1975. So we're going to get into all of that. But Rob, what you want to sure. tell us more about? So
you guys, we are about to leave Rumble and head over to Rise.tv, where we'll get deeper into this topic of the Black Cube UFOs and alien eels in a way that you'll only hear on a private platform. Did you know that Black Cube symbolism, Saturn, and the occult are all related? Or that companies reference some of the symbolism in their branding? Is BlackRock really one of those Black Cubes? Well, we're definitely... sorry, what happened? You guys is like, you guys were definitely going to, we're going to be getting into these crazy examples and what we found that might be the motivation to all the symbolism. So join us on Rise.tv for just $9.99 a month and support our work. You'll get to ask us your questions during the live Q&A. And don't forget that your support lets us do these deep dives and bring you the truth that the censors don't want you to hear. Now check out this trailer on the seas and then join us on Rise.tv.
Seafaring voyagers traverse the vast seas, sailing for distant lands, lost treasure, ferocious sea beasts, and new worlds beyond the old. But what if their searches across the ocean surface miss truths that lie much deeper? What secrets hide in the Bermuda Triangle? Why do octopuses exhibit an ethereal intelligence we can't quite explain? Are sightings of the Kraken and giant squids more than mere stories? Some creatures have been found to not just survive, but to thrive at depths and conditions we never thought possible. Which begs the question, what has been written off in history as imaginings or myths that may actually be pointing to other dimensions, alien worlds, or fantastic beings that aren't supposed to exist? Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.
Well, hey, you guys. Yeah.